We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Dan Summers, Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Well, it is a good evening to you and how you be at 8:06 and 5 seconds to go right along with it on a Carlos Beltran Thursday night right here on your fan New York City. Steve Summers here and you there, and Peter Hoffman and Brian Rascona. They on the other side of the glass in 1-877-337-6666 for another 2 hour schmooze. Right up until Sal Licata coming your way at 10 on your fan, New York City. And coming your way right now, and happy to have him on again, although the circumstances very unique this time around, former GM and SNY, everybody knows from Jim Duquette. Jim, happy New Year to you, and thank you for a couple minutes.
Yeah, same to you, Schmooze. Nice to be on. Thanks for having me. I'm with you. I wish it was under different circumstances.
Sure. Well, just look at it this way before we get into everything. Look at it this way. I would like to think and hope to believe that we now can move forward to where we start talking more sooner than later about hits, runs, and errors, and players by name that haven't been labeled as cheaters.
Let's hope, right? I mean, let's hope. I have a baseball show every day. We've had we've been talking a lot about the free agent signings, but awful lot about the science dealing. Too much about the science dealing. So I'm ready to move on to something else too. I'm sure you are.
Oh, you think? All right. Let me ask you first: should Carlos Beltran have been fired today?
I think in the end, you know, as we started to get more information, I think I understand the case better, and I would tend to agree with what the Mets did. I wish they had known more about this sooner. Personally, I think it was, you know, there's a lot of layers to this. I thought early on, Steve, that there was a path that the Mets could have and should have taken where they basically said, well, listen, he was a player. Clearly, he was a player during that situation, and you know, there's a clear delineation that MLB had between players in front office, and you know, I've had many, many players not know the rules outside of, you know, some didn't know them between the lines, you know, but a lot of them did know them off the field, and they couldn't be held accountable, in my opinion, of knowing every rule, what the fallout would be, who would be punished in this type of situation. But when you start to hear that, okay, Alex Cora was the ringleader, and it sounds like Carlos Beltran was his top assistant in that, and you start to hear the extent of it and everything else, and then you hear, well, maybe he didn't lie to the team, but maybe he omitted some important things that would have been helpful to understand the whole process, then I think you had to wonder, okay, geez, could something have come up during the summer that you didn't know about? And that would have been worse, you know? So I understand that the Mets made the move as unfortunate as it was, and I think they ended up in the end making the right move.
Jim, maybe they did know.
Maybe the Mets knew. You know, it's hard to... Here's the thing. Now, it's plausible, as I was listening to the press conference. I don't know if you had a chance to do it.
I did.
Okay, so listening to that, it was plausible. When you first get the news that he's not going to be suspended, right, you have to take that at its face value, that they felt, okay, they're in somewhat in the clear that it's not of the severity. And then I think, unfortunately, they were surprised that his name showed up in the report. You know, he was the only one of the players of the 2017 Astros that showed up in the report. Well, Fires did, but he was accusing them, of course. So, you know, when you kind of take that progression, you know, and they were a little bit caught off guard in that sense, I think, you know, it's fair to ask why they shouldn't have been. I think there should have been some kind of conversation before that report was out of the extent of it. And that's where I'm wondering some of the details. Maybe Carlos did have a conversation with, let's say, Brody Van Wagenen and downplayed or omitted how involved he was. And then when it came out that he was more involved, that's when they felt like they had to act.
When we all were hearing back in October and November, certainly, the rumblings were out there, the rumorizing was out there.
Yep.
We were all hearing about it. It's hard to believe from what the Mets were saying today during that conference call that they didn't know anything about it and were just letting Major League Baseball with their investigation handle it. Hard to believe that.
Yeah, I'm with you now. I think the other thing that was hard for me to believe was the fact that, you know, if you go back, okay, they said, well, we hadn't heard of the accusations that were out there about the Astros from 2017 or even 2018. That's hard to believe either because it was pretty loud, you know, at that point. You know, the investigation hadn't been reported yet. It hadn't leaked out and hadn't been an article that was written yet. But there was, at the very least, I felt like there was enough information to say, hey, listen, there's some rumors out there from the 2017, your 2017 season, Carlos, about sign stealing. Do you know anything about it? And at least have a question. And it didn't sound like they even had that in the interview process.
Well, see, here's, you know, some of us think that maybe, who knows for sure, but maybe after listening to what we were listening to today, that maybe the Metropolitans, Jim, wanted Carlos Beltran for what he did in Houston, for maybe what he could do in New York for the Mets.
Yeah, well, that isn't that kind of the ironic part? Like Brody Van Wagenen even spoke about it at the press conference about that ability to see things that others don't. Well, the ironic thing, at least in my mind, is he took it too far, you know. And in that part of it is the unfortunate part. But there's no question that, you know, when you look at him, he didn't have experience as a manager, but you know he had some other qualities and traits.
Yeah.
And one of them was his ability to see the detail. Some of the detail in baseball that others don't, and that was clearly a positive that they were touting, you know, and that's the one that ended up being Carlos's downfall.
He didn't have experience managing; he had experience in other ways.
Right. Yeah. Well. Right. Exactly. Right. I mean, I think listen, there's always a transition that you have to go through, right, with the young or inexperienced manager. I think. I think it would have been, to me, fascinating. You know, if I was in the shoes, that he probably, he wouldn't have been my first choice. I've said that a couple different times. I wouldn't have chosen him anyway in that particular situation. I probably would have gone more towards a Joe Girardi. That's a more of a personal preference of finding an experienced guy over an inexperienced guy. I've known Carlos since we signed him back in 2005, and he's a really good baseball man, and he's a very, you know, up until this point, I would have said a very upfront, honest, and high-integrity guy. Now you have to put that into question.
You can, and we're talking with Jim Duquette, former GM, of course, and now with SNY. Jim, you can make the argument, and it's a solid argument to make, that the Mets should not have fired him over what we saw from today, that they didn't have to necessarily fire him today. The question is really, why were they hiring him? And you can make the argument there that this is the kind of manager that Brody wanted and what the front office wanted and ownership too, because yes, as the inexperienced manager, this was going to be somebody that they could talk to and dictate things to.
Correct.
And help manage.
Yeah, correct. And you know, you look at more some of the hires that have gone on over, you know, the past 5 years, the managers that have been hired for the most part have been inexperienced or no managerial experience. Collaborative, which is a huge word these days, and a lot of times that means open, willing, to listen to front office's ideas or even accepting a front office's role in putting together lineups and that sort of thing. I think even Brody talked about the ability to go into the clubhouse and, take a breath and be relaxed about talking about the game and feel comfortable that their opinion would be not only heard and taken seriously and also incorporated. So, I think that's what you're seeing a lot more. These front offices are, listen, I was involved to a good degree, but I always felt like there was a line. The manager, you hired to manage the team. You gave him the vast majority, the general manager front office. We were in charge of putting the roster together. You wanted input from both. So the manager wanted input from the GM, but he was the one whose job was on the line. And GM, we wanted input from the manager, but in the end, we were making the final decision. I felt that there was a clear delineation. That's become much more muddied over the, I'd say, the last 5 to 6 years.
Think any of this is going to stop cheating?
Boy, I tell you this, if I'm a front office executive and I see the punishment here and I see people losing their jobs, if this isn't, and managers losing their jobs, if this isn't enough of a deterrent, then we have a lot of stupid individuals in the game. And I don't feel that's the case. Now, having said that, it wasn't that long ago that we had a general manager down in Atlanta who was cheating the rules and then chose not to help investigators, John Coppolella. He ended up having the death sentence. He's no longer allowed back into the game. And we've had a general manager in San Diego who had two sets of medical books, got suspended for 6 months. Those are unprecedented in the game. So I can't, now another general manager claimed he had no idea what was going on, which is, to me, a farce. He had to have known something that was going on within the organization about the sign stealing. So I can't rule out that it's ever going to stop. It stopped for good, but I can't imagine that people are willing to put their jobs on the line for this.
Well, I think some people are arrogant enough, maybe not smart enough, but certainly there are a number of arrogant types who think, you know what? We're going to do something better than what has been, and of course they'll take the risk of getting caught. Because of the reward is so great with money and with winning. So we don't think cheating is ever going to stop in baseball and arguably in just about every other sport you can think of.
Yeah. Listen, I think it's a likely scenario. Listen, of the people, the Houston Astros organization over the last 5 years have, just in the front office, graduated two others, one in Milwaukee, David Stearns, and one in Baltimore, Mike Elias, that were in the front office in Houston, became because of the success there, became general managers with big contracts elsewhere. You can say the same when it comes to managerial candidates. And Alex Cora went on to become a manager because of the success in Houston. So there is plenty of incentive to win, and sometimes, like you said, the arrogance is, we'll win at all costs, and we'll deal with the consequences if we get caught. The problem is I always feel there's somebody, a disgruntled employee, a disgruntled player, in this particular case, it's gonna turn you in eventually, and that, to me, should be enough of a deterrent.
Where do you think the Mets go now with the manager?
It's a tough one for me. Luis Rojas has got a great background resume, right? The DNA there of Felipe Alou, Moises Alou, but he has not nearly enough experience for me for a team that's looking to win. So I hear his name prominently. They may end up hiring him. I wouldn't do that. I think go back down to the list of guys finalists. Eduardo Perez, I think, would be a very good candidate. Mm-hmm. Similar to Beltran, doesn't have managerial experience, but you can work with him. I work with him, on my channel. He's a colleague of mine. I think he's a highly intelligent baseball guy, so he'd be a good candidate. Personally, I'd like to see him go with an experienced guy. John Gibbons has former Mets ties. I think he'd be a good one, honestly. Robin Ventura, if he wants to do it, I don't know how much that the burning desire is there. He'd be an interesting candidate for me. I think there are candidates out there, though. Clint Hurdle, could be, you know, they almost hired him before they hired Terry Collins. He has Mets ties. So I think there's some good ones out there, but what I hear right now is at least one of the front runners is Luis Rojas with the team.
Yes or no? And we're talking, and just another question or two, and then we'll let you go, Jim.
Sure.
We're talking to Jim Duquette, SNY, and, of course, the former GM. Yes or no, Jim? Lying and the cheating stops from here on out.
With the Mets, yes, I think it stops. I think that they're one of the organizations that did do this above board. And I do think there are teams in baseball, not all of them, but I think most of them do not cheat. I do think there are others that are, and that I think you'll hear a name or an organization or two come out even after this and to be investigated. But I would hope moving forward that we would see this type of cheating stop. But I don't think it's going to stop it entirely.
But again, if you're standing at second base, your ball player at second base, and you're relaying a sign to the batter, or you notice a pitcher tipping his pitches, you would go along with that because that is getting an edge, but not necessarily cheating. It's just paying attention, to details.
That's right. That's right. I think that that's always been that way. I think that because of this sign stealing scandal, I think you're going to see technology introduced in the next 2 years that will eliminate the signs being given from the catcher. I think you're going to hear. I think whether it's going to be an earpiece or some kind of technology that you're going to get the signs from the bench, and you won't even have the ability to steal them anymore. That's where I think the game is headed.
I think you're right. And I think all of us really should have got raised with the eyebrows when we heard that the Houston Sanitation Department was making Carlos an honorary member.
Yes. I didn't even know that. Is that true?
No. I can't thank you enough for giving us a couple of minutes.
Steve, I appreciate it. Always good to be on with you.
You bet.
Let's talk some Mets baseball from now on, hopefully.
Yeah, and soon.
And soon. See you.
Thanks, Jim.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, Jim Duquette.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.